Good evening and thanks for joining us. I'm Trevor Ault. Authorities in New Mexico today are speaking out for the first time after the fatal shooting on the set of the movie Rust, saying all options are on the table, including possible criminal charges. ABC's Kaylee Hartung is in Santa Fe tonight.
We believe that we have in our possession the firearm that was fired by Mr. Baldwin. We also believe that we have the spent shell casing from the bullet that was fired from the gun.
Today, for the first time publicly, authorities in Santa Fe are releasing key details of their investigation into the fatal shooting on the set of the Western film Rust. Last week, a prop gun in the hands of actor Alec Baldwin discharged, killing the film cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injuring its director Joel Souza. Now we're learning that Colt 45 revolver was loaded with a bullet.
The actual lead projectile that was fired has been recovered from the shoulder of Mr. Souza.
Authorities also confirming the chain of events that led to the shooting.
A weapon was handed to Mr. Baldwin. The weapon is functional and fired a live round, killing Ms. Hutchins and injuring Mr. Souza.
Today's news, a shock to Hollywood. According to an industry-wide safety committee bulletin, live ammunition is never to be used nor brought onto any studio lot or stage. So the biggest question now, how did that bullet get on the set to begin with? And did anyone know it was in that gun?
How did two people inspect this gun and not notice there was a live round in it?
That's what we're trying to determine.
The sheriff's office says they're still working to gather all evidence and send the ammunition to the FBI crime lab in Quantico, Virginia for further ballistics evaluation. No charges have been filed yet. Officials saying that everything is on the table, including criminal charges.
All options are on the table at this point. I'm not commenting on charges, whether they will be filed or not, or on whom.
Authorities say they also recovered three revolvers and roughly 500 rounds of ammunition on the scene, including blanks, dummy rounds, and live rounds.
I won't comment further on how they got there.
A new search warrant was issued today for a prop truck on set where firearms and ammunition are stored.
Is it possible that somehow one single bullet mistakenly made it onto the set? It's possible, and maybe they wouldn't charge for that. But if there are multiple live rounds on that set, somebody's going to have to explain why that was there.
Today's press conference comes as the Rust production team announces they've hired their own lawyers to conduct an internal investigation. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, known as OSHA, has also visited the Rust production set and begun interviewing crew members. Yesterday, a member of the cast told TMZ he feared for his safety when filming gun battle scenes.
When the rounds were released, when they shot at me, I actually did feel the blanks hitting my face and my body. And I could feel the wind from the shotgun, you know, being discharged.
This photo shows the cast and crew filming inside the church before that fatal shooting occurred. The film's star and producer, Alec Baldwin, in the middle, the crew, including cinematographer Helena Hutchins, surrounding him. While sitting in one of those church pews, Baldwin discharged that weapon, striking Hutchins and Souza.
We need an ambulance out at Bonanza Creek Ranch right now.
In a search warrant, the film's director, Souza, told investigators that Baldwin was practicing a cross draw, pointing the revolver towards the camera lens. Souza was behind that camera, looking over Hutchins' shoulder, when he says he heard what sounded like a whip and then loud pop. Authorities say the firearm was one of three prop guns set up by the armorer, 24-year-old Hannah Gutierrez Reed. In a new affidavit from investigators obtained today, Assistant Director Dave Halls explains that when Gutierrez Reed showed him the firearm, he could only remember seeing three rounds. He told detectives he should have checked all of them, but didn't. And yet Halls handed the gun to Baldwin on set and indicated it was safe to use. ABC News has learned that Halls was fired for a similar incident on a different movie set back in 2019, when another prop gun unexpectedly discharged, injuring a crew member.
The DA made it clear today that she is going to look at all factors, including things that have happened on other sets.
The film's armorer, Gutierrez Reed, seen here in pictures released by the Daily Mail, was responsible for all weapons on set. Rust was only her second film as head armorer. Key grip Stu Brumbaugh previously worked with her on the set of the Nicolas Cage film The Old Way. He says he had some concerns about Gutierrez Reed.
Hannah was having a conversation with an actor at the time about, and they had some reservations about the the sound, the report of the gun. So she was going to test that near the actor to let them know, you know, understand how loud it was. And again, it went off, another gun went off. Unfortunately, you know, our star, you know, Nick Cage walked by, and it went off without him, any of the crew really wearing any hearing protection, and it pissed him off. So at that point, I had made the comment to the assistant director that she probably needed to be let go.
According to that search warrant for the prop truck released today, investigators conducted an interview with Gutierrez Reed, who said that on the day of the incident, she checked the dummies and ensured they were not hot rounds. And when the crew broke for lunch, she says the firearms were secured inside the prop truck, but that ammo was left on a cart on the set, not secured. When asked if live ammo was kept on set, she replied no. Authorities say that Baldwin, Halls, and Gutierrez Reed have all been cooperative in their investigation.
I think there was some complacency on this set, and I think there are some safety issues that need to be addressed by the industry, but I'll leave that up to the industry and the state to determine what those need to be.
Film prop master Dutch Merrick says 500 rounds is not uncommon for a film set like Rust.
Dummy rounds make sense because you dress those into the gun and you use them for purposes of making it look loaded. The thing that doesn't make sense is the live rounds.
He says he's familiar in dealing with revolvers like the kind that may have been used in Rust.
This is an image of one of those types of revolvers. And you can see this properly, right? There's a gap right here between the cylinder and the frame. That gap will show you the brass casing. This is a blank that'll work for the revolvers and the rifles. So, and as you can see, the front of the round is crimped. It has sort of a pinch down, almost like the end of a hot dog. So it's very obvious when it's a blank.
On-site accidents are not as rare as you may think. A report from the Associated Press details that from 1990 to 2014, there were at least 194 serious accidents on film and television sets, including 43 fatalities. Like this accident in 2015 on the set of the Greg Allman biopic, Midnight Rider. While filming on train tracks in rural Georgia, this video, taken from a freight train barreling towards a terrified movie crew at an estimated 57 miles per hour. Sarah Jones, a 27-year-old camera assistant, was killed. The director, assistant director, and the executive producer pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter and criminal trespassing after it was determined that they filmed on the train tracks without permission. Randall Miller, the director, served 1 year in jail and is now completing his 9 years of probation. Although there was no gun involved in that case, there could be parallels between Midnight Rider and Rust.
The fundamental question for the sheriff and the DA is going to be, how dangerous was it? Was it just a one-off? Was it just an error? Or was there literally a pervasive problem about safety on that set?
Regardless of whether charges are brought, there will likely be consequences for the talented life lost.
If they decide not to pursue any criminal charges here, that would actually be more the norm than the exception. There will undoubtedly be civil lawsuits here. And there's no question there's going to be big money paid out.
Together, we will ensure that this investigation is held to the highest standards. I speak to the prosecutorial perspective here. And I must emphasize that a complete and thorough investigation is critical to DA review.
Our thanks to Kaylee. Up next, Drew Binsky's amazing journey. One of the few people in the history of the world to travel to every country.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drew Binsky will soon be one of the few people in the history of the planet to make it to all 197 countries. The vlogger has been documenting his amazing journey every step of the way. Nightline's Ashin Singh caught up with him in country 196, Jamaica.
And even when I stand like a foot away from it, it's just, I keep kicking back because it is hot, man.
Drew Binsky is recording a vlog for his YouTube channel.
It is literally cooked to perfection.
He's about to share with his viewers a Jamaican mainstay, saltfish. It's a first for the 30-year-old from Arizona.
I've had red snapper all over the place, but nothing that tastes like this, you know?
At first glance, Drew Binsky looks like your typical vlogger. But behind the lens, he's on a global journey. His destination, every country in the world. Jamaica is nation 196 out of 197 for the millennial traveler. And he's broadcasting his world tour to the tune of over 8 million fans. More people have been to outer space than have seen the whole world. And of that group, Drew is one of the very few to document it all. From the most remote islands to some of the hardest to reach communities.
How many do you have? 24? Wow, it's beautiful.
Nations living in conflict to countries travelers just don't normally consider.
We can't speak to each other, but it doesn't matter. Like, we're bros.
Exactly. He's sharing it all with his audience, breaking down stereotypes and misconceptions that extend far beyond borders.
What are some universal truths that you've learned?
From all my travels, I've learned that all people are the same. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, people are so genuine.
And encouraging everyday people to get up and just go.
I just strongly feel that you become a more well-rounded and educated person by traveling. And nothing is better than crossing borders because just new languages, new cultures, new traditions, I find that to be extremely valuable.
Country 196, man.
196, man.
How does it feel?
Oh, man, it's a great feeling.
We linked up with Drew to find out just how someone manages to see the entire map and what he's learned along the way.
We are literally off the beaten path right now.
I have no idea where we are, but I know it's cool.
There are so many travel blogs out there, so many travel vlogs. What makes yours different?
I really try to go to the far places of the world and meet with people and sit down and really shine the light on the locals and tell their stories. And I think that's really powerful.
Here in Montego Bay, Drew's almost a full week into his trip.
This is my island, this is my culture.
His camera always rolling as he explores the country. A seasoned content creator who caught the travel bug as a kid.
On my 8th birthday, my parents gave me a globe as a gift. So every night I would spin the globe and dream of visiting every country in the world. It wasn't really until I studied abroad in college that I got to go overseas and I became addicted.
At what point were you like, I think this could be my job?
I went to North Korea in April 2017.
Put together this short video to give you an inside look of North Korea.
It was one of my first videos, and it got 10 million views on Facebook. And right then and there, I was like, okay, I think this is gonna be good. As I traveled more and more, I realized that I'm on a good pace to keep going to try to go to every country. Nothing was stopping me.
Since that moment, he's used each experience around the globe to perfect his system. From how he travels, to who he connects with, and what he shares. First things first, he links with someone local. This is Matt, Montego Bay born and raised. He knows the country like the back of his hand.
Your experience, like, is all about who you're with, right? So if I'm by myself, I don't really know where to go, so it's nice to always have a local friend and you just, like, vibe off each other.
Today, Matt's showing us the best way to see Jamaica.
Oh, can you smell that, man?
Through our stomachs.
This is the Jamaican jerk chicken and jerk pork. This is what Jamaica is all about. Like our people, sweet, spicy, and full of flavor.
All 197 countries isn't just impressive. It's a lot. With a mouthful of jerk chicken, I tried to quiz Drew on whether it all started to blend together.
Sometimes things do get a little repetitive. I've seen a lot of really cool waterfalls in my life. I'd rather prioritize my time and see different things than just another waterfall, because once you've seen Victoria Falls and Niagara Falls and Iguazu Falls, It's hard to beat that.
So are all the waterfalls starting to blend together right
now? I'm not a big waterfall guy, put it that way.
Hey, even on this tiny island of less than 3 million, everywhere we go, someone seems to recognize Drew from his videos.
Nice to meet you, bro. Oh, thank you.
This man even saying Drew's content inspired him to get to Ghana.
I actually subscribed to your channel and found out a lot about Africa through you.
It gives me the goosebumps, even though it's a million degrees outside right now. It makes me feel grateful, and I just feel honored to be in a position where I can inspire people, where I can share the beauty of the world.
But it's not just a passion for Drew. In order to live this way, he had to find ways to make it all pay for itself.
How does someone like you make a business out of their hobby to travel?
It's a lot of work, and I always tell people it's absolutely possible, but it takes a certain person to be willing to be in front of a camera 24/7. It's not easy, man. I did everything myself for the first 3.5 years, shooting, editing, script writing, uploading.
How much can somebody actually stand to make living this lifestyle?
In 2013, I made like $20,000 a year, all the way up to 2017, and then it pretty much doubled every year since then. A lot of people want overnight success. They're like, okay, I'm gonna start making videos now and go viral tomorrow. That's not really how it works.
These days, Drew says he can make up to $35,000 a month.
Thank you to all the sponsors.
Through sponsorships and ads. Now he's got a full team spread across 13 countries to help manage partnerships and create content.
Do you see the content as the means to making a living, or do you genuinely enjoy storytelling?
Both. I absolutely love telling stories. It's my passion. And so I don't want to stop doing it. I can't stop. Truth be told, I never check my bank account, ever. As long as I have enough to do what I want to do and keep traveling, I'm happy.
Do you ever worry that, you know, you're putting forth a perspective of privilege when you're out there?
Yes. I realize that I am a white American male, and I realize that my passport is a lot stronger than my fiance, who has a Philippines passport, and a lot of people who have Indian passports, who have Egyptian passports. It's a lot harder for them to travel. And I'm very sensitive about that, but I really think that anybody can be a content creator. If you are watching this interview right now, it means you have internet or a TV subscription, which means you can have a phone and just start filming yourself and uploading it on YouTube.
As this trip comes to an end, we go off the beaten path, literally.
And we've arrived.
For one last meal before he heads to his final destination, Saudi Arabia.
You're about to head to country 197, and you will have officially traveled the whole world. Do you feel it coming to an end?
I've had a lot of time to reflect the last 18 months, so yeah, I think mentally I'm prepared and ready to move on to the next chapter of my life. But yeah, it's surreal to think about like 10 years, that's like 3,000 days or longer of like nonstop travel.
Once you leave Saudi Arabia, what is Drew Binsky looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to continue creating content, going back to the countries that I love so much, and just keep doing what I'm doing. I feel like it's only the beginning.
So you got your plans in the works.
I can't stop traveling, man. I just can't.
One of Yosemite National Park's most iconic natural wonders is no longer running on empty. Yosemite Falls, this is what it looked like last week, and this is what it looks like now after the powerful storms that lashed the West Coast. The water now cascading down the tallest waterfall in North America. Scientists say the drought still isn't over, but for now, we say enjoy the view. And that's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Good night.